AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper. An infant is dead along with three adults after someone started shooting inside a Dallas home. CBS News Texas reporter Olivia Leach from the scene.
Dallas police tell us the suspect is a neighbor who walked into the victim's home and started shooting. Police are still searching for that suspect. Police say three adults died on scene and two other victims, a 15-year-old girl and a 1-year-old boy, were taken to a local hospital. The 1-year-old later died from his injuries.
Two airlines that serve some of the most remote airports in the country are planning to merge. Alaska Airlines CEO Ben Minicucci on a deal to buy Hawaiian Airlines.
This combination will allow us to better serve the people of Hawaii, expand Alaska's reach across the Pacific, and create an even stronger airline.
It's worth nearly $2 billion and will still need federal approval. It's going to get wet and soggy for the next couple days in parts of Washington and Oregon. National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Orovec says both coasts have been drenched.
It's been pretty active along the East Coast with respect to rain, and there's been some heavy snow across northern New England, but the two systems are distinctly separate.
Israel says combat is shifting to southern Gaza. CBS's Christian Benavidas.
The Israeli army says it has renewed its assault after negotiations for the release of more hostages held by Hamas stalled. Bodies are piling up outside the few remaining hospitals still running. A majority of people are crowded in southern Gaza after Israel told them to evacuate the north. As Israel now begins its operations in the south, Palestinians are running out of places to go.
And Israel says its army attacked about 200 Hamas targets overnight, including terrorist infrastructures located in schools in the northern Gaza Strip. An icon of Paris is slowly rising again above the City of Light. CBS's Elaine Cobb's there.
For the first time in nearly 5 years, the outline of a spire is again visible in the skyline above Notre Dame. Workers on scaffolding high above Paris are installing the new spire's wooden framework on the cathedral roof. It was April 2019 when fire engulfed the cathedral. The world looked on in horror as the spire, made of oak and metal, collapsed in the flames.
Toymaker Mattel is honoring the late Cherokee leader Wilma Mankiller with a Barbie doll. She was the first female chief of a major Native American tribe, leading the Cherokee Nation from 1985 to 1995. But it has some mixed reviews. Some say the doll looks nothing like Mankiller and that a written symbol on the box translates to chicken rather than the word Cherokee. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsay Schultz and the Pioneer women are fired up to deliver.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Democrats have elected Diane Hesselbein as their new minority leader. Hesselbein was elected to represent Middleton in the Senate last fall after a decade of serving in the Assembly. Earlier this week, Melissa Agard stepped down as minority leader after announcing her run for Dane County Executive. Hesselbein beat Senators Kelder Royce and Jeff Smith in a vote for minority leader on Friday. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on the state's legislative maps. Jeff Mandel of the liberal firm Law Forward says it's about voters choosing their lawmakers and not the other way around.
If we get back to the feedback mechanisms of democracy, that's the win. It's not about which party wins in 2024. I just think that's overly reductive.
Mandel spoke at a WISP politics gathering on Thursday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks pulled ahead late in the fourth quarter to beat the Atlanta Hawks 132-121. It was the 148th consecutive sold-out game at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks campaign with a season-high 18 points.
Man, it feel good, man. It feel good to get my game going in front of these fans.
Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Really want to give a shout-out to our bench. You know, Bobby came in with a double-double. Cam, season-high 18 points. He was tremendous. I think Bobby in the first half and Cam in the second half, those guys were, you know, terrific.
College hoops, Wisconsin with an upset win over Marquette. Matt LePay with the call.
Point four. on the clock. Send it to the backcourt. Kolick picks it up, and the Wisconsin Badgers knock off third-ranked Marquette as they storm the floor at the Kohl Center in Madison.
The final, Wisconsin 75, Marquette 64. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies overnight with lows around 27. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 36. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So glad to have you along with us. Lots of company today. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach, Carol Kane with me in studio. And joining us, as he does every Friday at this time, Dr. Michael McCutcheon is here. He is our resident life, relationship, and career coach who draws on his training in counseling psychology to help us improve our relationships, set and reach our goals, and fix our lives. You can find him at thedrmichael.com. Good morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm so good. Good to see you all. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was nice. Carol came down with the plague, but other than that, everything was good.
No, mine was very nice. How was yours?
Oh, it was great.
Good.
It was really, really good. We actually did our Thanksgiving on Friday. So I had Thanksgiving to just, you know, relax and generally sit in my own filth and watch football.
You don't strike me as a sit in my own filth type of person, Dr. Mike. Like, your filth is very carefully curated and just proper.
You got me pegged. Yeah, you're right.
If you ever have a question for Dr. Mike, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, or you can text it in at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
All right, here is the issue that we have for today, Dr. Mike. Dear Dr. Mike, I'm a 30-year-old married guy, and I'm feeling exhausted from walking on eggshells around my wife. She will make off-the-cuff, sometimes rude comments about her general opinions about me. I'm made to feel as if I'm a bad guy for expressing my needs or giving her feedback in even the gentlest way. For example, we're currently trying to have a baby. It's taking longer than she would like. I'm trying to stay positive because we're still young. We have great resources. But now she's accusing me of being sexist and insensitive because I'm not in tears every night because getting pregnant has taken us longer than a couple of months. How do I handle this, Dr. Mike, where it feels like I'm being overly kind and then getting in a fight in return on a regular basis? Do I just grin and bear this for the rest of our marriage? Woof.
Woof. That's right. Well, to answer the second part first, Jane, I think we can all agree, no, you can't just grin and bear it for the rest of your marriage. 30. I mean, I think the average American man lives to be around 77 or 78.
That's a long time. That's a long time to bite your tongue and walk on eggshells, boy.
Yeah, it's a really long time. So, I don't want to be overdramatic either, but I don't know if we should be talking about having kids before we can figure out what's going on between the two of us first. I that's just kind of the way that I was. I always thought about marriage and kids. Let's figure out how we're communicating before we bring a baby in here first. So, first of all, one phrase that I always think about, regardless of the relationship, marriage, coworkers, friends, any of this sort of stuff, is that we train others how to treat us.
You talked about that before, right? And you're absolutely right.
You know, you have to really think about this. If you're walking on eggshells around the person, she's going to think that she can, to use your words, she can be rude, and that you're going to walk on eggshells, right? And if this is the way, I mean, they say they're 30, they can't have been married for too long, right? If this is the way that the marriage is going at the beginning, then yeah, it's going to go like this for the next 45 or 50 years, if you're going to say that's going to happen. So I would nip this in the bud as soon as possible. Now, if that means going to, you know, marriage counseling, if that means, having some conversations, peacefully, before bed or things like that. You can't allow yourself to feel that you're walking on eggshells of all people with your partner, right? You have a cantankerous boss or something like that. I can understand that, but with your partner, you've got to be able to be yourself. Especially with topics around, procreating, right? You should be able to sort of say how you're sort of feeling about those kinds of things. I guess there's another phrase, sorry, Jane, if I am recycling, but there's another phrase that I really, really love that I stole from a really good couples therapist in Canada named Sue Johnson. There's a phrase called strike while the iron is cold, right? So a lot of times people will say these things, like they'll talk about big issues in the middle of a fight, which makes sense, right? If we're already talking about, having a baby, or already talking about, whether we should get a, new car or move or something like that, we're having a fight, well, then we'll throw in, you're always rude to me, right? Yeah. You always do this, right? And now we're in a fight. We are in a big fight. The fists are up, the defenses are up, right? And your mother this, and I never liked the way you did that. And now it's, so when I say strike while the iron is cold, it's really saying, have these conversations when things are peaceful.
Yes.
Have these conversations at noon on a Saturday when the sun is shining and nothing's going on, which seems like it's probably the least, sort of natural time to bring that up, but it's the best time to bring it up, right? Because everybody's emotions are down and they're calm, and it's a really good time to say, hey, honey, I want to talk to you now about this thing that I've noticed, this pattern that I've noticed going on in our relationship over time. And right now, while we're actually doing okay, I think is the best time to talk about it.
Dr. Michael McCutcheon is our guest. He's our resident life and relationship coach. You can always find him at thedrmichael.com. Dr. Mike, what really concerns me, is it normal to take shots at your significant other in front of others? I mean, I know we people tease each other, but
right.
Is that healthy to be out with people and then embarrassing your spouse because you think it's fun?
I don't think it's normal, but I'll open that up to the panel. I don't think that's a very healthy thing unless unless I guess you're both comedians or something like that. And that's part of
Dr. Mike, I'm a comedian and I don't want to be made fun of like that. That's
okay. Good. Yeah. It's,
that just seems that seems really mean to me. And I would go back to that. Well, and I mean, does she even really like him?
Yeah.
My thing is, and I'm not excusing any of her behavior by any stretch of the imagination, but going back to the pregnancy thing, I think sometimes for some women, not all, because my first pregnancy was an accident. It wasn't meant to happen. I think the drive is so strong, and the frustration level of not happening has made her so edgy and so, and so grumpy and cranky and resentful that this isn't happening. I think basically, at the core, this is one of the bigger problems, and that leads to all this other behavior.
It's a great point. And this, This is a really important time to remember, Carol, that we got married, hopefully. We got married not to marry a punching bag, but we hopefully got married because we wanted to be a team.
Right.
And I am not trying to play Mr. Silver Linings here, but I would say this. This could be an opportunity here to actually say, hey, it's you and me against the world, right? Let's hunker down together here. Let's find the right doctors. Let's make sure we're using the right, you know, the right calendars and the right procedures. Let's do this together. It doesn't have to be you versus me.
Yeah, right. No, at all.
I'm just saying that I think some women just get so obsessed.
And so emotional about it.
Right, right.
But I think too, Dr. Mike, and you had pointed this out earlier, until you can get some of these other issues resolved, now might not be the right time to have a baby. Because I do think occasionally that couples will do that, assuming that this is going to fix the marriage. That's not when you want to bring another life into the world.
That's right.
No, I mean, go ahead. Go ahead. I don't need to be talking, Dr. Mike. This is your segment. Go.
Greg, I feel like we cut you off. What are you going to say, please?
Oh, I read the letter, and I feel like these are two separate problems. I think the first problem is if she's saying brash things that are out of line and making fun of him, that is something that needs to be discussed. As far as her reaction to his not showing as much emotion as her, that's a separate conversation, because maybe he's internalizing it. Maybe it's the classic, I'm a man, I'm not going to speak my feelings because at the end of the day, even though it's the both of you trying to get pregnant, this is about that woman's need to have a baby, and however he's dealing with it is valid, because we don't know what he's feeling inside. He's not saying what he's feeling. And because he's not emoting the way that she feels is necessary or normal, that's a separate conversation then too. To me, these are two separate problems. They're not just an all-encompassing thing. It's looking at both of them saying one is an everyday thing. The other one is a very specific situation that both need to be addressed, but I think they are separate in their problems.
That's right. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Thinking about this idea of planning, right? They're planning on having a child, right? You know, if we're having this much distress around planning to conceive a baby, think about, Carol, you're a parent. Think about all of the things that happen after a baby is born, right? All of the things that have to happen then, every single thing. What is the baby going to eat? What is the baby going to wear? What school is the baby going to go to, right? What activities is the kid going to have, right? We need to get aligned right away, right? So to Greg's point, let's get aligned about what we're doing now. Let's get aligned about being on the same team, right? Whether that means, going to couples therapy or striking while the iron is cold. So hopefully these people can get on the same page ASAP.
Dr. Michael McCutcheon joins us every Friday at 11:06 to fix your life and your relationships. You can always find him at thedrmike.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Mike. We will see you next week. Stay with us when we come back. A little sports preview with Civic Media's own Michael Clemens. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up.
Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You flip the script for the hell of it. Addicted to betrayal, but you're relevant. You're terrified to look down.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us. Jane Metnier in for Kristen Rye. Carol Kane and Greg Bach are with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789. Coming up at 11:33, holiday traditions that you assumed that everyone else did, but no, it was just your family.
Okay.
Whether it's food or how the holidays play out, we'll kick that around and okay. And take your calls. Right now, though, we're going to do a little sports preview. Joining us, Civic Media's own Mike Clemens. Good morning, my friend. How are you, Mike?
Good, Jane. Great. Hey, listen, you guys were talking about this NBA in-season tournament thing that's been going on.
Just a little bit. We talked about it. Yeah, it's very confusing.
It is. I understand. So, you know, I did a little more digging on it. So here's the deal. Okay, you're an NBA team like the Bucks, and you get your 82 regular season game schedule. And to jazz it up a little bit, you know, because it's early, you're competing with the end of baseball, football's in the full swing and all that. I think the NBA came up with an interesting idea. It's like, okay, we don't want to make the players do any more extra games. There's a couple in there in this tournament. But let's take your regular season schedule, and let's say, all right, these next seven or eight games or so, they're going to be called tournament games. And they make it like a little bracket, just like the NCAA tournament brackets, you know, in March. And so then you have to win X amount of games, and that gets you into this little tournament. And then you play some more games in that bracket, and then that'll get you to like a three-game tournament that where they'll fly to Vegas and you play these special games. But here, Jane, at the end of the day, well, why don't the players, what's in it for them? They all get paid $500,000 if they win.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, because we know they're all struggling.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, it'll get them, it'll pay for their cable, you know?
I just think, though, it's Mike, so it's like are the NBA is not having ratings problems. It's one of the fastest growing sports in the world.
No, au contraire. You know, these sports writers, nobody gets this. And when are they doing this? November. And what happens in November, Jane? November sweeps.
Oh. So
that puts a little more juice in all this. Gets a little bit more eyeballs. Sure, sure.
Makes people care about the first part of the basketball season.
Right, right. It, you know, gets everybody a little bit more jazzed for basketball because people sort of, basketball fans wait for the NFL and the Super Bowl to finally get over. And then that's when their league starts to shine. Now you get a little bit more action, you know, earlier in the year.
If you're just joining us, Civic Media's own Mike Clemens is here to talk a little sports preview. Mike, I want to talk about the really, really important sports story that everyone is talking about going into this weekend. And it's Taylor Swift. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
What is the buzz what is the buzz in Green Bay about this?
I've told you before, Jane, about my friend Kevin. He's worked at Entertainment Tonight since it started. I just texted them about 15 minutes ago, and I said, so what are the chances you're going to be photogs and freelance paparazzi at Lambeau Field Sunday night? And the text is, it reads like, all media agencies and, of course, normal media outlets are going to be there. The dollars are spent. See, like, if you're working at Entertainment Tonight, there are these paparazzi agencies, and they're always out fishing. And then when they get something, you can get the subscriber rate and get, you know, the rights to those pictures for your show, your magazine, all that. Yeah, sure. Of course they're sending people. Are you kidding me? Of course they're going to be there. One thing I thought was kind of funny was that, you know, bless their hearts, the Green Bay Tourism Bureau put out a thing. Well, if Taylor's coming, you know, we can recommend a great fish fry in Ashwaubenon on Saturday.
There you
Make the most of it.
On Saturday, they've got to go to the smoothie bar where they can get a Door County cherry smoothie.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then, of course, after the game, we recommend this. It's like, dude, the Gulfstream is going to touch down at Austin Straubel Field about 6:45. There's going to be two SUV squad cars there for a police escort right to the door, to the elevator, up to the suite. It, you know, come on.
This just shows
it's Lambeau Field. She's going to be there. She's never been to Lambeau Field. She's going to be there.
But it's not like she's going to be hanging around Green Bay for the weekend. Mike is right. She's going to come in on her she's going to come in on her private jet and be limoed to the stadium, and that'll be it.
We talked about this earlier. You asked me to have faith in something. I have faith in this. I think Taylor Swift will spend a day in Green Bay and enjoy herself. She's going to enjoy.
It's not like she's going to be stopping a Quick Trip to get a cheese stick, you know, and a Badger 5 scratch-off.
Agree to disagree, sir.
See, that's what I love about JT, though, and his wife. They go to, like, the tailgating parties. They're in the parking lot. You know, they're mixing with everybody. I thought that was fascinating.
What will be your angle, Mike, if Taylor shows up? Because I understand the Chiefs win when she's at the game.
I know you got Simone Bills there from the U.S. gymnastics. Her husband, Jonathan Owens, is a safety.
Yeah.
Going to be trying to deflect some of those passes at Patrick Mahomes. So, it's on NBC. She'll be in the house, right?
Oh,
to promote the Olympics this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She is so adorable.
Simone Biles is so happy to be anywhere. It's great.
Right. So, other than that, listen, the Packers, they're on a roll. That 37 million. Watch that game on Thanksgiving. Highest rated early Thanksgiving game since they've been doing this since the 50s. And Jordan Love throws that pass to Christian Watson to get things going, 53 yards. They kind of shocked the world, so they feel better about it. They still got some injuries. Jaden Reed, this number 11, one of the receivers, he's got a chest injury. I talked to him. It's probably a rib. He didn't want to say, but he's like been resting this week so he can participate in this game this coming Sunday night. But then it's this young secondary that they've been playing with. Maybe they get Jair Alexander back from the injury against Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
It will be interesting to see. I am withholding my judgment. I have a bad feeling. I think the Packers are going to get smoked. I do. I do.
Yeah, there's three scenarios, Jane. It's the Chiefs blow out the Packers. You know, that's what everybody would have betted a month ago. The Packers, are respectable. Or, the Packers pull off an upset, which actually the Chiefs, I think they've lost two of the last four games, to some of the best teams. But I think the Packers will be happy if they can go toe-to-toe with these guys, at least through three quarters. And whatever, if the Packers are beating these guys in the fourth quarter, it's going to be another ratings bonanza.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, if you have the opportunity, Mike, get Taylor's autograph for us and tell her we say hi and send our best.
And if you don't, shake it off.
I do have access to the visitor's locker room, and I've been told I cannot post any selfies until after she's cleared Green Bay airspace.
Jeez.
I'm not surprised by that.
Thank you so much, Michael Clemens. We will be enjoying your coverage over the weekend. Stay with us when we come back. Holiday traditions that your family did that you thought everyone did, no one else did. Okay. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News brief. Police near Vancouver, Washington say five members of a family are dead in a murder-suicide. In Dallas, a shooter walked into a home and killed a one-year-old and three adults. Reporter Olivia Leach.
Five people were shot inside a home. Four of those victims have died from their injuries, and police say the suspect is still on the run.
It'll be a soggy few days in the Pacific Northwest. Meteorologist Bob Orovec.
As we go through the whole week, you know, it looks like a very wet pattern, so, you know, 7-day totals coming up anywhere west of the Cascades of Washington and Oregon to the coast. We're going to have rainfall totals of anywhere between 3 and 7 inches.
The U.S. is urging caution as combat operations push into southern Gaza. CBS's Nicole Scanga on a plea by the U.S. Defense Secretary.
Secretary Austin made what he called a personal push this weekend, urging Israeli leaders to avoid civilian casualties in Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The secretary of the host committee for the 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee is stepping down. Milwaukee Public Schools cut ties with Gerard Randall's Milwaukee Education Partnership 2 weeks ago. School board members say it isn't clear exactly what the nonprofit did with the school district's money. It also appears Randall lied about prominent people in Wisconsin serving on his leadership team. The city of Wausau is filing a lawsuit against 15 manufacturers of PFAS Forever chemicals. The lawsuit also names 61 major insurance companies that insured the manufacturers. Wausau has some of the worst PFAS contamination in the entire state, with the chemical found in all of the city's drinking water wells. Wausau officials say they hope to recoup some of the millions of dollars they've spent so far to provide safe drinking water and to try and clean up their water wells. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies overnight with lows around 27. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 36. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, WAUK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us. If you're listening in Amory on WLAK.
Amory.
And in Oshkosh on WISS Air Support. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, Greg Bach with me in studio. Comments on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can also leave comments there as well. Want to do a little housekeeping before we move on?
Yes, this is Greg right here. You know, only the highest quality reporting from As Goes Wisconsin's News Center. I misreported before answering the question on the Democrats who voted to keep George Santos, the former congressman. There were two, actually. I read the list incorrectly in their order. Robert C. Scott and Nkema Williams. Robert is from the 3rd Virginia District, and Nkema is from the 5th Georgia District. Both Democrats, both voted to keep George Santos in office.
Interesting. That didn't save him, though.
No, not even close. And I'd like to know why.
Why they voted now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I can see why a Republican voted to keep him. I can just see that.
Don't you think maybe they might have done that because we're blazing a trail? It's setting a precedence that maybe they don't want to have to deal with.
As far as members getting
shirking their responsibility, because this guy was trash and he should be thrown out on a unanimous vote, in my opinion.
It was just so, I just think it was so egregious.
Yeah.
When the Ethics Committee came out with that report, they just found so much dirt on him. I don't know how you could.
Yeah.
I just think that it's maybe in their minds this is setting a dangerous precedent. And it's going to have a trickle-down theory. And maybe that was, I don't know. I'd have to sit down across the table from him and go, what's the deal?
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't want anybody coming after them.
Could be.
Right. Yep. Also, texture from the 541, Mike Clemens was just here talking sports and the Packers-Chiefs game. Who is on the bill to sing the national anthem at the Packers-Chiefs game? And that is none other than Ben Tanai, who has sung the anthem for the Packers, the Brewers, and the Bucks.
Yeah.
He will be singing the Star Spangled Banner, on
it's
Sunday.
It's a banger,
night.
Baby.
And, he has met Taylor Swift once.
Oh, be darned. Well, if he's done it that often.
He met her in 2013. He was just out of college singing backup for the Rolling Stones in Chicago. And Ben Tanai says she was like the nicest human being ever. She was so sweet when she really didn't need to be nice to me at all. She totally gave me the time of day. I am a fan of hers because of that. And Ben, he's wonderful.
Yeah. The positive for that is if he's done it for all these different games, at least he'll get the damn lyrics right.
I think he knows. I think he knows the lyrics.
Okay.
I get so mad when I see these people stand up to sing the national anthem and they screw up the lyrics.
That's a lot of pressure.
I don't care.
All right.
I don't care.
Have faith in them, Carol. Ooh.
No. I don't care.
I think at least our elected officials should have to know the words.
Oh, my God, yes. That should be a part of their office. They all have to sing the national anthem at one event.
And prove they know the words.
They don't have to sing. They don't have to be great at singing, but they should have to sing. No lyric sheet, no prompters. You got to go to like a Nashville Predators hockey game. You got to sing the national anthem.
That could certainly change the whole congressional line up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to move along. And we would love to hear from you at 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
What is a holiday tradition that your family did that you thought other families did? And it turns out you are the only one that does that. No one else does that.
Okay.
So we used to put on a play every Christmas Eve.
What?
We would put on a play. My 5 brothers and sisters and I, we lived above a funeral home, and we had all this great space. And there was also a stereo system that went through the whole first.
That's right.
There was
your
a
house
stereo
would have
system
wired for sound. Yeah,
so we could have, you know, we could play music and have, you know, and play albums and stuff like that. So every Christmas Eve, as mom and dad, because we always went to midnight mass, and in order to get the youngers out of our parents' way, my older sisters and brother would organize this play that we were going to put on downstairs, basically to get us out of their hair so they could wrap presents and get the meal ready for when we got back from Mass.
Was the play the same?
Oh, no. It was a different play every year.
Who wrote said play?
My brothers and sisters, the oldest ones.
So it was an original production.
It might have. No, they would take like the first one I wanted. The first or second one that I can remember was they took the Night Before Christmas and they made it like Beatnik. So instead of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas and All Through the Land, it was 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Daddy-O.
Yeah, Daddy-O. And so, yeah, that was one of them. I think the very first play we did, and I was very small. I was 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And I remember this very well because I was the baby Jesus, and I didn't get unveiled until the very end of the play, and I had to hide behind these folding doors, and I was afraid. So my brother had to come back with a flashlight because I was spooked out. But that pretty much set me on the path to be a performer because I was the baby Jesus and I was the star.
That's hilarious.
I had a tinsel crown. So
Jane is Christ Superstar.
That's hilarious. Well, mine went into the food department.
Oh, I bet there's a lot of that.
We were Norwegian. We always had lefse.
Oh, that lefse is lovely.
We never had rolls or bread or anything. It was always lefse, always. And then my one aunt always made something called lemon ice. And we had it all the time, so I just assumed everybody had lefse and lemon ice. And lemon ice was like, it was made with condensed milk and lemon and frozen. And so you'd cut it into squares, and it was kind of like an old-fashioned palate cleanser. Like we would have...
Did you suck on it?
No, you would cut it with, cut and eat it like ice cream. And it was kind of between, like, we'd have, like, salads and stuff like that, and then we'd have the lemon ice, and then we'd move on to the main meal.
That sounds delicious.
Ooh, that sounds refreshing.
It really was. Somebody's got the recipe somewhere, but it really was delicious. And I always just, that's what I just assumed. Everybody has lemon ice.
What about your family, Greg?
We didn't do any traditions that were, like, I've been racking my brain all morning. Like, we didn't do anything that was any different, excuse me. We didn't go to church. You know, you wake up in the morning, there's presents, go to someone's house afterwards. The only thing that was different is that for a few years, like 3, 4, 5 years, I don't remember how many years, my sister, after all the lights went out, would knock on my door and be like, Greg, let's sleep in the same bed together. And we'll wake up at Christmas morning together. And, you know, she'd be like, just come sleep in my bed tonight and it'll be fun. And I was a little kid.
Sure.
So in my head, that would always happen. And then years later, my sister just says to me, yeah, I did that because you used to wake up really early and look at the presents and I'd want you to move. Like, she brought me into the bed and so I would, and her bed was up against a wall. I'd sleep next to the side next to the wall.
Yep.
So I couldn't get up.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. So that was the only tradition. And I was like, that's such a fun tradition. Later, I just found it was just a matter of like keeping me asleep because my sister slept in. I did not. I was an early riser as a youngster. I could snap my fingers and she'll fall asleep. And I'm jealous of that fact.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Ooh, got a text here from the 608.
96 party.
Sorry, I apologize. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. I'm excited about text messages.
Well, fabulous. Share it.
This is from Chris. Oh, from Chris Casper at the 608. Civic Media Zone, Chris Casper. We always had oyster stew.
Ooh, oyster stew. That seems very exotic to me.
Is it a thick stew? Is it like a liquidy stew or like a New England clam chowder?
Chowder?
Was it a red or a white?
It's probably white.
Yeah, probably white.
Probably white.
Calvin, what about you? What about your family? Is there any particular tradition that you always did?
No, not really. We're pretty basic. I know growing up, I know a lot of people do celebrate this, but not everyone did. Saint Nicholas Day.
We did that.
I know it's pretty common, but I know not everyone celebrates it, so I'm not sure where it comes from.
I think it was isn't it very Catholic?
It's a Catholic holiday,
it's a very
I believe.
Catholic holiday.
Okay. Let me just say this. Nobody celebrated St. Nick's Day in my family because that's my birthday. And nobody else is getting president other than me.
Good Done. Job, Kelvin. You set Carol on.
Nobody's getting presents on St. Nick's Day other than me.
We did St. Nick's Day in my house, and then at a certain point, my mom stopped doing it because we were older, and then her whole thing was, no one ever gets me a stocking. I'm like, well, I'll get you a stocking. My mother-in-law, every year, no lie, there's stockings with all the kids' names on them. Get a nice full stocking on Christmas morning, and it's usually like there's always a toothbrush, there's toothpaste, and then fun little trinkets and whatnot.
You little know, tchotchkes.
I'm not asking for a gift card to Neiman Marcus, but I love the stocking. It's fun, and I'm sorry that it happens to fall on your birthday. Oof.
Taking this very personally. Texter chiming in again. You can always call and or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Thank you, Greg Buck. Texter says, my Thanksgiving tradition does not involve the family, just me. I tend to get a cold within 2 days before or after. I'm currently on day 3 with no voice after being congested since Friday.
Amen. Did that message come from Carol? No.
Someone in Carol's family.
Yeah.
Another texter, Scott from St. Louis. St. Nicholas, St. Nick's Day is very German. Yes.
Yes.
And my family still does this as adults. So what was your family's tradition that you thought everybody else did, but nobody else did? We never did cannibal sandwiches.
Oh.
I never even heard of those until a couple years ago.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, we still do them. I love them.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. I love them. Rye bread, sirloin, raw red onion, salt.
And the sirloin's raw, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is why they make fun of us.
If you go to a very well-known butcher, the meat will be fine. Nobody in my family has ever gotten sick, ever.
I've tried it maybe once long time ago, and it tasted like onions.
This sounds like a chewy endeavor.
It just tasted like onions. It didn't have any other flavor to me.
I love them. I don't know. It's just me. I love it.
Oh, you're not alone. There's a lot of people who love cannibal sandwiches.
Yeah.
Poor marketing, too. Poor marketing name. I mean, I got to say. And
they need to rebrand.
Yeah, no, it's a bad name. Yeah.
Just call it a raw meat sandwich. I don't know. Ugh.
My father was very big into creamed herring. That went over really well. Which I also think was very German. My father was German. You like that too?
I do.
My mother loves herring. I don't know if it's creamed herring. She loves herring because we're also Norwegian and gross.
I love it.
Herring is bad enough as is. You cream anything. Cream corn, cream peas, cream green beans.
Ah! You're listening from some very strong emotions from Greg Buck.
It's ruining perfectly good food, except for herring. It's
and we always had Chex Mix.
Oh,
forever.
Yeah. Chex Mix. Always on Christmas
always
Eve.
Always had Chex Mix.
Chex Mix used to be a thing you had to make yourself.
You made it yourself.
You had to make it yourself.
We're going to continue this. Cindy, I see you on the phone. Stay there. Stay with us. What was your family's Christmas tradition? Joining us at 844-967-2789. This is Asgo's Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption,
Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Harold Kane, Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. We're talking about your family's holiday traditions. What did your family do that you kind of thought everybody else didn't? And it was like, no, no one else does this. 844-96-PARTY. Cindy, thank you for your patience. Cindy from Appleton, how are you doing this morning?
Good. And first of all, I'd like to say, Carol, I feel your pain because I just got done going through what you're going through.
I know it's
like everywhere I go, everybody's sick. I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on here? But anyway, I just wanted to call and say the culinary proper name for a raw hamburger sandwich is steak tartare.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Cannibal sandwich is the looser term. But yeah, steak tartare, right, Cindy? Because they sell it in restaurants.
Yep.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you want to class the name up, that's how you do it. Call it by its name.
And is that something that you eat?
Oh, my God. Well, I do once in a while, but I'm not a fan of it. But yeah, once in a great while.
All right. Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You know what else we did? We always get new Advent calendars. Did you ever do Advent calendars?
Yeah, we did those.
Where you get like a little chocolate behind the door or something?
We just had, it was actually, my mom always bought the religious ones. And so you open the door and it was like a Christmas religious
phrase or something?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of kept us on the straight and narrow, if you know what I mean.
Well, and now,
don't make me open up this tiny paper door.
But
Carol.
Now Advent calendars, there's a whole industry with with nothing but alcohol.
Do you know who has a great Advent calendar?
Who?
Lego.
Oh, gee. 844-967-2789 if you want to join us. 844-96-PARTY 920 texting in. My grandma and now my mom always make liver pate. We spread it on Ritz crackers. Yummy.
So just, no, thank you. What is, but you know, no, actually, I take the back. I've never had liver pate. I'm not going to say until I try it.
I've been on this big liver sausage thing ever since we talked to Dr.
Lyerly. Why
don't
you go buy some? It's,
well, maybe that's their tradition.
No, I'm saying go buy some. And
I have.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
No. I thought you were just forgetting. We got a text from the 414 here. My family would enjoy Brandy Alexander's before dinner. I believe that's like brandy with milk, isn't that? Or
ice cream.
If it's not a Christmas tradition, I highly recommend starting it. Cheers.
Brandy Alexander's are delicious.
You can use them with ice cream or you can do whipping cream. But I would say that they're so filling. What would you eat after that? You know, I mean, they're heavy.
They are pretty heavy. Maybe have just a very small one. Going back to the Chex Mix, though, that's so funny that you brought that up, Greg, because now you just buy it in a bag and it's done. My mother would buy three different boxes of Chex.
Yep.
So there were the wheat ones and then the regular ones.
There's rice. There's corn.
And rice and corn. And then the other one with peanuts and Tabasco sauce.
And then it's like also.
And then you baked it in the oven.
Yep.
But that was, yeah, we always did that. And I want to say that Chex Mix is far superior to the Chex Mix that you buy in the store now.
And the stuff you buy in the store in the bag is just dry.
You know why? Because it's made with love.
It's just the Chex Mix made at home.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Made with a lot of butter, a lot of
Worcestershire sauce.
Yes, Worcestershire sauce. That's what it was. 844-967-2789. What holiday tradition did you grow up with that you kind of assumed, yeah, everybody does this, whether it's food, whether it's the Christmas pickle.
Do you open a present? Oh. Do you open presents? Some people open a present the night before. Some people open all their presents the night before. You know, I mean, for our friends who celebrate Hanukkah, is there a Hanukkah tradition that you have that maybe your other Jewish friends don't have or that we don't know about? In the last few minutes, let us know. Tell us, people. We want to know your traditions.
We want to know what's going on in your house.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I'm a big one for Christmas Day.
Me too.
Like, there's nothing more joyous. My kids have never gotten up on Christmas Day, either at my grandparents, at their grandparents, or at my house, where there's not. I'm weird. I know it. I wrap everything individually. So the sea of presents comes halfway into my great room.
Yeah.
So when they come downstairs, it's like, Mom, like, I'll take a $25 gift card and I wrap that individually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
We do the same thing in my mom. So we celebrate Christmas with my mother, myself, Bridget, my sister, and her family. So there are seven of us. And when you come downstairs on Christmas morning, it looks like a dump truck. But and it's not like everything's an iPhone. You know,
smaller things. So
there's tons of small things, of cheap things, I got this little thing here and it reminded me of you. But like, yeah, the only present they open the night before, it's the kids. They open their pajamas the night before. There's their new pajamas for the year. That's it. Everything else is done on Christmas. And I love that. And even it's weird. As a kid, you would go to bed and there would be nothing or maybe one present underneath the tree. And you wake up the next day and if you're fortunate, there are a lot of presents. Yeah.
And it was magical.
Yes.
I will be turning 46 years old in a couple of weeks to this day. And I'm the person putting out presents at night with my family. I still get wired up in the morning when I look and I see the presents because of the daylight, the tree. I'm still like, I still have that childlike excitement. Like,
I do too.
Let's do this.
That's great. Texter from the 608. Mom added Cheerios to the Chex Mix.
Oh. Yes. I do.
Yes. Cheerios and peanuts.
Diplomat.
We also had Tom and Jerry's in the afternoon before the meal. Never been a Tom and Jerry fan.
What are the ingredients of a Tom and Jerry?
Isn't there, there's egg involved, I believe. It's a mix, right?
It's a mix. It's got a meringue kind of quality it. And you add either whiskey or brandy.
I just go straight nog. Give me knock. I'll pop up thing almost just glurg.
Wait a minute. With all of the weird things you will eat, Carol Kane, you won't drink eggnog.
No.
You've eaten eyeballs.
I know.
And eggnog the line.
We found the line. Oop, let's see here before we get out of here. I think we have one more. Oh, okay, here we go. From the 773, my birthday is the 25th, so we always open presents on the 24th. So my day could be all mine. Oh, that's so sweet.
That's sweet.
I have a friend who also has a birthday on
the 25th.
He goes, his joke is, he goes, I'm not a Christmas boy. I'm a Christmas man.
My sister's is the day after Christmas. Yeah. She gets screwed all the time.
Well, and I'm about a week after New Year's.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, we don't want to party anymore. We're exhausted. Anyway, that does it for us. Stay tuned for the news, followed by the Todd Allbus Show from noon until 2 o'clock. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you to Dr. Mike. Thank you to Mike Clemens. Thank you for listening, for texting, and for calling. Without you, we're nothing. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there. See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.